In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Bless you all this feast for the presentation of our Lord. I'd like to begin today by just saying a few personal words, if I may, about my trip to Mexico. A few personal words about the feast itself. Then to say how it brings us to us in the most beautiful of ways. How it brings us more to the love of Jesus. But a few personal words to thank you for the opportunity for the last 14 days in Mexico to do an intense study of Spanish. As you know, we started Spanish Mass here, and I went to study Spanish, but returned with so much more. I didn't realize that the school that I attended was also the diocesan office of the Bishop of Mexico, the presiding bishop. And so we were sent to churches around, and the spirit was just palpable. And I believe with all of my heart that this church has 176 years of patina. That is, that people prayed and cried and they sung in this church. You can feel it when you walk in. And I believe that as we invite a Latino spirituality to this church, it's going to bless us and give us something quite dear and deep. So it's not just an interest of mine to speak Spanish. I truly believe it's a call. It's somewhat pitiful. Because even when my Spanish was correct, they couldn't understand it. Because evidently, North Carolina accent and Spanish don't always go together. But I'm going to practice and practice and practice in one day. But thank you. It's important for your priest to say to his congregation, thank you for the opportunity. And I'm so glad that both Father Platt and Father Chang are here this morning, because I want to thank them. You know, when I was in Mexico, the majority of us, all of us, were from this diocese. And priests and lay people, many priests. And many of them worried the whole time. Because of the shortage of priests, many could not find coverage for their churches. So many of the churches couldn't even have a mass while the priest was away. They had to read the daily morning office. I've never had to think like that. Always. Before I even came, Father Chang was here. He's been longer than I have been. He taught me the traditions of this parish. And I've always had the privilege and the honor of his presence. And two times I've been sick. He's had, at 5 in the morning, hour and a half notice to prepare a sermon. He did quite well to cover. And Father Platt has been here over 50 years. I'm not outing your age, Father. You came probably at age of 12. But he's covered the weekday masses for me, written a book on the history of this church. So how blessed I am, how blessed we are for Father Chang and Father Platt. Thank you both dearly. And to say, personally, this feast day means so much to me. It is just the most precious of feast days. I've told this story before that when I was a child, I often got in trouble. And my mother had this tradition, I guess, Espanol. And she would come in a very stern voice. She would kneel down, put both of her hands on my shoulders, and she said, "You need to remember who you are. I taught you better than this." To me, on the Feast of the Presentation, Mother Church, and we're not in trouble, in the most positive of ways, with a loving spirit, Mother Church kneels before each of us, and as a parish, she places her hands on her shoulders. She said, "You need to remember who you are." This feast day, the liturgy, the ceremony, the music will tell you. The feast is ancient, but it never becomes old. So expect something from this Mass. Expect to leave this Mass loving Jesus more dearly, be more committed to His service. It has that. It is that gift. A few, I wouldn't say tidbits, but a few pieces of information about this feast that are quite interesting. It probably has more titles than the other feasts. I know the Feast of Mary on August 15th has many titles, but today I think has more than any feast. The Feast of the Presentation of our Lord, the Feast of the Purification of Mary, the Feast of the Meeting of Simeon, the Feast of Candlemas, and yes, Groundhog Day, which is directly linked to this feast. It is also at the very end of the Advent Christmas cycle. It falls on its sixth day today, February 2nd, exactly 40 days after Christmas. From Advent to now, feast days are commemorated by their, or dated by their proximity to the Feast of Christmas. From now on, beginning with Ash Wednesday, will be honored by their proximity to the Feast of Easter, beginning with, again, Ash Wednesday. In many churches, it is a tradition to keep the creche up till the Feast of the Presentation. I think maybe we'll do that next year. And if you've not taken down your Christmas tree, this is the day. Actually, knew a priest once who kept his tree up till the Feast of the Presentation. So, it begins, the first is foremost a feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondarily is a Marian feast. Foremost the feast of our Lord because it is the story 40 days after his birth, as was the custom according to the law of Moses, the firstborn son would be dedicated, or would be ransomed back, or dedicated to God in the temple. It linked all the way back to the story of the Exodus. Remember when the angel of death came into the land of Egypt to kill the firstborn of all living, to break the will of Pharaoh, but recognize the houses of Israelites and pass over them, thus the feast of the Passover. So 40 days after his birth, Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus to the temple and make their sacrifice, two turtle doves, which we know from that they were poor. Because if they had money, it would have been a lamb. Turtle doves before the poor. And they came, and one of the most beautiful stories of the Bible is the story of the aged Simeon. And with the aged Anna, an old man and an old woman have lived all their lives for God, awaiting the consummation of Israel. And Simeon believed that he had been told by God that before he died, he would see Messiah. And when Jesus was placed in Simeon's arms, the energy of a young man returned to him, and he prophesied, "Now I can die in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He began to prophesy about Jesus. He'll be the cause of the rise and the fall of Israel. And then there was a haunting part to his prophecy. He turned to Mary and said, "One day, Mary, a sword will pierce your soul, your heart." And she would only know the fruition of that prophecy 33 years later. She stood at the foot of the cross. But it was one of the most powerful and beautiful stories of the Bible. And the words of Simeon is all the words, along with the 23rd Psalm and the chapter 14th of John, that are read at the bed of those who die. And I would suggest it's only two sentences that everyone memorize the Song of Simeon. On page 5 of the bulletin, the choir sang the very words, "Lord, now listen thou, thy servant depart in peace, from thine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of thy people Israel. Light be a nation to the nation." Memorize it, because it will be etched in our hearts the moment, perhaps when we come to die, or people that we love who are dying. Let it just be part of what we know, and let it be said and sung and prayed. There is nothing more holy and beautiful than the words of Simeon. Secondarily, it is a Marian feast. We'll be singing the Angelus for this at the end of the Mass, because Luke combines the stories 40 days after giving birth. A mother would make her sacrifice and prayers and ritual, and then return to full duties of the community and religious life. It's also Candlemas. It is a light feast. First, because of the prophecy of Simeon, that he will be a light to the nation. Also, in the Northern Hemisphere, 40 days after Christmas, we can now see with the naked eye just a bit of the length of days. In the ancient world, before technology, before electricity, this meant the enhancement of life and of commerce. It was a major thing. So it became a time for candles to be blessed. We do it just as a symbol, but it was quite a literal blessing centuries ago. And people would be given candles to take to their home. Again, more than a symbol, true gifts in times of darkness, in times of storm, in times of illness. And this is where Groundhog Day does come in. Because folklore began to be made around this feast of Candlemas. The ditty went like this. "If Candlemas be fair and bright, winter will have another flight. If Candlemas brings clouds and rain, winter will not come again." And then in Germany, a badger was brought out. You can see the shadow. There you go. Well, we were kind of short on badgers. As the tradition came to America, we had groundhog. And so there it is. And next year, we had our own Millicent wrote a beautiful story about the groundhog and the fate of this groundhog. But that's for another day. And so what does the story, how do these titles in the story bring us to us? Jesus was brought to the temple, and they were too poor to offer a lamb, so they had two turtle doves. They did offer a lamb, didn't they? The Lamb of God was dedicated in the temple. The very Lamb of God that redeemed the world and changes forever was dedicated in the temple. Simeon saw it and began to prophesy. And Jesus, as he was presented, came to have an awareness as he grew of who he was. When he was baptized, the voice of God said, "This is my beloved. Listen to him." And his life and his love and his sacrifice for this world was so palpable and beautiful and changed us forever. He knew who he was. And the story of the presentation is this. Who are we? We need to know who we are. We too have been presented in the shadow of, in the light of our Lord's presentation at our baptism. We were presented to the Lord and dedicated to the Lord. We didn't have the voice of Simeon, but we had the voice of the priest saying, "You are sealed as Christ and you are God's own forever. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit." And though you might sin and make mistakes and have regrets, the power of those mistakes and the power of those regrets will never be greater than the love of God in your life. He will never put His hand away from you. We were presented. And in every Mass that we ever go to, and maybe thousands upon thousands in our lifetime, and maybe never neglect the honor and privilege of going to Mass, we're reminded who we are in God. We're reminded of our presentation of our baptisms. As we lift our hands to the wafer, we open our mouths to receive God. We leave ourselves vulnerable to say, we present ourselves to you over and over again. Be your hand and your feet in this world. This is not easy, is it? We face a difficult world, as generations before us did also. And sometimes we look at the weight of the problems of the world, and today it seems like the world's on fire, and we want to just turn our faces. If we have enough money, we run maybe to our gated communities. If we don't, we just put our heads in the sand. But the presentation tells us, our baptism tells us, the Mass tells us, we need to remember who we are. We are the hands and the feet of God. We've heard that phrase, "There before the grace of God go I." The presentation shows us we are that grace in this world. And some people, like Martin Luther King, I missed his feast a couple of weeks ago, and some great leaders we pray, they rise up and they do great things. They become great leaders. But for the majority of us who would live and die in obscurity, some of what we do would never be seen or remembered, but it's no less important. Well, I was in Mexico. I went to a church, and it's hard to understand the story in Spanish, but I got enough to know. And many of the congregation lived in abject poverty. And this beautiful, beautiful young priest preached to his congregation and said, "What you might do just might be a word. You might hold a hand. You might give a piece of bread. You might give a coin. But that is not small. There's nothing small. The smallest word, the smallest act can change the world. You can change the world." He said that to his congregation. I will never forget it. So I share that with you and with me. We've been presented to the Lord. And maybe it might be as small as to turn our head when next in front of gossip. Or to stand against racism, bigotry, horror, war. To take a stand. Or it might be just to hold our hand. Whatever it is, how small it is sacred. And it will change the world. We have been presented to the Lord. The Mother Church tells us today who we are. You're Christians who are loved by Jesus Christ. And we love Him back in all that we do and all that we say. Amen.